time is it, Tony?
1842.
Just wait, see if one or two more should come in. Hey, Rosie! Huh? Well, let's hope he doesn't. I haven't seen him yet. So many traffic problems everywhere in Salisbury.
There's a car delay.
Where is that?
Well done, everybody. Well done for getting to this stage. You've been on a really important and also quite long journey. Prepare you for this, for your confirmation, taking on your baptismal promises yourself, your adulthood in the church. You should be feeling really grown up and confident about this. So well done. I hope nobody's feeling too nervous. The bishop's going to be more nervous. He's got to try and remember what names to call you in. So you know what's happening, and you know what names you've chosen, so you've got it covered. And also it's not in advance, it doesn't matter if it goes a bit wonky, you'll still get confirmed. So just enjoy the experience of this being your really important day, and your family and friends being here to watch you make the promise. But well done, that's more important.
So, very often when people talk about confirmation, they talk about it as a sort of completion of baptism, which it kind of is. There's a place in the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, where some guys are baptized, and they don't receive the gift of the Holy Spirit until Peter and John, apostles, come from Jerusalem and do the laying on of hands, exactly as will happen today. Before that, the apostles had all been baptized, a lot of them by Jesus. It does say that there were others baptizing. You get the impression that they were baptizing each other. But they were baptized anyway. And then at the Last Supper, they were given priesthood. And at the resurrection, Jesus breathed on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So they should have gone out full of confidence and energy and everything. But they hid away. They were so afraid, they hid away. And then on Pentecost Day, something happened. Now, just before Pentecost, they realized that now that the number of apostles was down to 11, they had a problem. Because there were 12 tribes of Israel, so there should have been 12 apostles. That's what they thought. And the way they chose the new apostle was by drawing lots. What they did was they put a load of, listen up, they put a load of the names in a bag and they drew one out, you see. They did it by drawing lots. They took a chance. Now, they prayed before they did it that the outcome would be right, and they weren't doing a bad thing. In the Old Testament, that is how the priests made all sorts of decisions, by casting lots. The apostles did exactly what the Old Testament priests had with a thing called the Urim and the Thummim. These were like dice that they would throw. And you sometimes see a spinning top that is used in that same sort of way, especially by Jewish people. So they made the decision by casting lots, and they took a chance. But they trusted that the Holy Spirit would guide them in taking that chance. But you've got to say, it's a funny way of doing things. A few days later comes Pentecost, and at Pentecost the Holy Spirit descended on them in the form of tongues of fire, and they heard the sound of great rushing wind. and they began to speak in other languages, they received something very, very powerful that day. They received the Holy Spirit, which they had already received, but they received it in a new way. After that, the apostles never again went back to drawing lots. They never once did that again. After Pentecost, instead of taking a chance, they prayed and they listened together, and then they would say, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to set apart Paul and Barnabas. Or they would say, choose from among yourselves, and they would pray, and then they would just choose. They would choose the people that they needed. They invented the diaconate, us ones who wear this with the sleeves. They invented the diaconate in the same kind of way. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, they decided, we need extra people to go and do all the visiting to the widows and the orphans. They no longer took a chance. There are all sorts of things in our lives that look like they are just chance, just coincidences. But when we have the Holy Spirit, we look at all these things and we say, no, they're not just coincidences. There's something, some kind of inspiration going on. Yeah, the apostles got that. No more drawing lots, no more taking chances. They went in boldly into everything, trusting that they were now doing the work of the Holy Spirit. There's all sorts of things in life where we think we're just drifting. And even being here today, there might be some of you who have a little bit of a feeling of that, that really you're just kind of going along with it. Well, the apostles were surprised by what the Holy Spirit did. And please God, you will be as well. You will be amazed and you will say, all that preparation that we had, all those talks, all those lessons, they did not prepare me for what I'm now experiencing. And you'll find this many times in your life. And the people around us here will be able to look back on their lives and say, I now look at that, which I thought was just a coincidence, and I see that actually it was the Holy Spirit. So we don't drift anymore. We trust that anointing with oil and those words received the seal of the Holy Spirit that you heard about the other day. We trust that really does something genuine in us and changes us. No more drawing lots, no more taking chances, no more drifting. Instead, we begin to look at our whole lives and say, I can see now how the Lord was at work. And in doing that, in spite of ourselves, in spite of the good or the bad we might do, we find the Holy Spirit gradually shaping us a certain way, making us more like Jesus Christ, making us truly brothers and sisters of Christ, making us so much part of the family that you might say, we have the mind of Christ. That doesn't mean I can just film, I think I'll do this. But that when we really pray together, and when you ask other people to pray for you, and then you take the outcome that comes, that you find yourself trusting in a way that even the apostles couldn't have imagined until Pentecost Day. And on Pentecost Day, Peter, who had been hiding because he was afraid of the Jewish authorities, he'd been hiding away with 120 others in a very big upper room, and suddenly, just on that morning after the rushing of the winds and the tongues of fire, he goes out and he preaches a sermon, and 2,000 people became Christians that day. Jesus had already said to the apostles, these things I do, you will do, and even greater things will you do, because I go back to the Father, because I send the Holy Spirit, is what he meant. These things. It might seem to you almost blasphemous for me to tell you that together, and sometimes individually, you can do even greater things than Jesus did. But Peter did, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you look at the church now, billions of people around the world, all practicing Catholics, some of them not practicing all the time perhaps, but still, all that comes, not because of clever words or something, but because of the way Jesus Christ is formed in us, so that we become most truly children of God. And when we become children of God, become brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, we become more and more like Him. And sure, every now and then we'll take a wrong path and make a wrong decision. But again and again, just like Peter, we have to turn back to Jesus Christ. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to say, put me back on the right track, Lord. And the promise of Jesus Christ is that He will do that. He says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So that's you, because you've come to Jesus Christ. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And in another place, He says, whoever the Father gives me, I will never let go of their hand. Now, you know, a child will try and wriggle free. I might occasionally succeed in wriggling free from his parents. But the promise of Jesus Christ is that He will not let us just wriggle free. He will always honor the choice that you made today, even if you had a little bit of uncertainty in it. He will honor that. That's called a covenant. It's that kind of promise. Jesus says that. So my prayer for you, brothers and sisters, today is that all the grace that Jesus Christ won for you on the cross on Calvary that Good Friday, and all the strength that raised Him up on the third day, will be yours forever, to lift you up again and again every day, even if you fall, to lift you up again and again. And also that, yeah, all the grace, all the strength, and all the inspiration, all the inbreathing, all the power of the Holy Spirit to be yours as well, so that you never know, you might find one day you say something to someone and they say, there was something of Jesus Christ in that, and it might change their lives. And maybe you won't be quite so surprised, because Jesus has promised it. He said that we should go out into the world and proclaim the good news. Well, not many of us are going to stand on the street corner and do that. But in our own gentle ways, sometimes in loud ways, sometimes in very quiet ways, we will find ourselves inevitably talking about Jesus Christ. And here's a little idea for you. Never talk about Jesus to anyone unless they ask you. But make sure they ask you. And the way you make sure they ask you is just by being true to Him in your words and your actions, and whenever possible in your thoughts as well. And sometimes during Mass today, maybe your thoughts will wander a bit. That happens to me all the time. Maybe that will happen. But the Lord has promised to keep you on track. So keep on listening to Jesus Christ. Keep walking in the Holy Spirit. And I think it must be almost time to say a quick prayer together and then we'll go back down to the church. How do we know when we're being called back?
I think now.
As brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, we'll pray a prayer that we're going to say again very soon in the Mass, the one who taught us, as children of God, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And today's feast is St. Barnabas. It means the encourager, the word Barnabas. St. Barnabas, pray for us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
What now, Catherine?